It's Morning Edition on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge and WRKF.org. I'm Amy Jeffries. It's Friday, time for some insight. Robert Travis Scott, president of the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana, is here. Hi, Robert.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So a few days before Christmas, PAR released a report on the privatization of the Charity Hospital System. The headline for the report that Louisiana's safety net has not been discarded, but it is being reinvented. So far, what does that look like? What is that reinvention?
Well, this is a really major change in how the state approaches its charity hospital system. Louisiana is kind of unusual in that we have had a system in which our health care for the indigent and the uninsured has gone to these particular institutions throughout the state. And each major metropolitan community has one of these. And the LSU system has sort of managed not only the education for the doctors and the other medical students, but also has operated these hospitals. Now we have a very significant change in which the Jindal administration, working with LSU, has converted all of these hospitals into private management. In some cases, they have closed the old charity hospital, such as what they did here in Baton Rouge. And in some cases, they have kept the same hospital and just let a private provider come in and operate it.
Right. So here in Baton Rouge, just as an example, much of the patient load that used to go to Earl K. Long Hospital is now supposed to be served by Our Lady of the Lake. Is that actually happening?
Well, yes. Here in Baton Rouge, you have a lot of patients who were going to Earl K. Long who are now going to Our Lady of the Lake, and we're seeing some very positive results from that. The metrics we're seeing so far is that we think these patients are probably getting better care, there are lower wait times, there are more surgeries being performed as necessary. One of the side impacts you have of this is that some of those patients who had gone to Earl K. Long and would now be looking for their next destination if they have a health care need, some of those are going to, say, for example, General Hospital, which is actually maybe closer to their neighborhood than Our Lady of the Lake. As a result, General Hospital has had a financial impact from this because it doesn't have the same deal that Our Lady of the Lake has to get the kind of compensation for this uncompensated care that's being given to the indigent.
Is that something that the legislature is planning to address, will have to address at some point?
I think what we're going to see down the road is that all of these agreements will be revisited, and I think maybe for good reason. The funding streams that are in line to make these deals work are mainly federal dollars. But under Obamacare, as it is implemented and as the Medicaid expansion is put throughout the country in most states, except not Louisiana. We're not doing the expansion here. Part of that whole federal scheme is to reduce the amount of money the federal government is paying for uncompensated care to states and hospitals. So what we're going to see down the road is perhaps a lowering of that allocation. Now, we don't know how low it's going to go for Louisiana. So that's one reason you may see a redrafting of some of these agreements in the years ahead. And another reason may be this whole question that comes up about General Hospital, and maybe with some of the non-partner hospitals and some of the other communities around the state that also have charity hospital systems now run by a new private partner. What is the impact on those non-partner hospitals? What are the strains that they are under? And should they be included in the envelope of this deal in some way? I think those are all things that'll be considered down the road.
Do you expect the hospital deals or health care reform in general to be revisited during the upcoming legislative session?
There are going to be attempts, once again, to talk about Medicaid expansion in the legislative session. I don't see it going anywhere. But sometimes these discussions are put out there not just to achieve the result of what somebody wants, but to continue to elevate the topic as a political discussion. And particularly going into the next governor's election, I think you're going to see some evidence of those contests playing out in this legislative session. You're going to see, I'm guessing, John Bel Edwards, who is a state lawmaker who is going to run for governor on the Democratic ticket. I'm sure you'll see him try to advance some ideas. I think you may also see some tensions played out between Vitter and Jindal and Jay Darden, and who are all people who will in one way or another be running for governor in 2015. Now, Jindal, you say, wait a minute, Jindal's not going to run again. He isn't, is he? Well, he's going to be running for president. And so, in a sense, Jindal's legacy will be kind of a ghost candidate in the 2015 election. I think he wants to preserve his reforms and in a favorable light. He wants the nation to see them that way. He wants people in the state to see them that way. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not the candidates who come in and run against him, especially on the right, whether they're going to pitch themselves as building on his reforms or whether they're going to pitch themselves as trying to overcome or reject his reforms.
Senator David Vitter just jumped in to the race for the governor's office this week. Jay Darden, our lieutenant governor, already had declared that he was going to run. Both of them Republicans. Jindal will back a Republican candidate, perhaps, at some point in this race. And he'll, you know, if he's going to preserve his legacy, he's going to have to have some sort of relationship, right, with a Republican candidate?
Well, aren't those great questions? I don't have an answer to them. I think that's what we're all watching to see, is how this will play out. And I think it makes the session a little more interesting, because not only will there be a legislative session with bills and reforms and a budget debate, but there'll be this undercurrent of the governor's race coming up a year and a half later, and how the candidates are sort of playing their cards in this legislative session.
Well, Robert Travis Scott, president of PAR, thanks for all the insight.
Well, it's always great to be here, and I look forward to the next time.
I'm Amy Jeffries. This is 89.3 WRKF.